evening, everyone, and welcome. I'll declare our council meeting open at 6 p.m. And on behalf of council, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands of the Noongar people and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. I wish to acknowledge and respect local people's continuing culture and the contribution they make to country and its life. In accordance with Regulation 49 of the Local Government Administration Regulations, this meeting is being recorded. Recordings will be available on the Shire's website. And by being present at this meeting, members of the public consent to the possibility that their voice will be recorded. Our record of attendance, all councillors are present with no apologies, and welcome to members of the public. Actions performed under delegated authority are there for your record and for viewing. And we have no previous public questions taken on notice to respond to. We will open up public question time if anybody does. Any member of the public? Certainly. Could I please have your name?
Jenny Windsor.
Jenny, welcome, please.
The Shire of Brookton is entrusted by its ratepayers to make decisions that foster a sustainable, inclusive and fair community. As the demographic landscape of the Shire shifts to the median age of 51 and a population now of 929 residents, many of whom are older adults, it is essential that the council decisions reflect these changes and make optimum use of community infrastructure. Local clubs and community groups are a vital part of Brookton's social fabric. They provide opportunities for recreation, social connection and well-being, particularly as the area sees fewer young residents and a growing population of seniors. In this context, an equitable access to community facilities is more important than ever. Currently, there are significant discrepancies in the leasing arrangements for local, not-for-profit and groups. For example, some groups such as the Men's Shed and the Our Craft Collective are charged $900 per year, while others, including the Guides and the Country Club, operate on a peppercorn lease. There's also clubs that, to our knowledge, pay no lease at all. This inconsistency can create perceptions of unfairness and may place undue financial pressure on some clubs, particularly those serving the growing older community. A review of standardisation of lease charges would help ensure all community groups are treated fairly and transparently. This would align with best practice from other local government areas where clear equitable policies support the ongoing viability of community clubs and reduce administrative burdens. It will also ensure that all ratepayers see a fair return and benefit from the use of Shire-owned facilities. I respectfully request that the Shire undertakes a review of all current leasing arrangements for the community groups and considers moving towards a more equitable and transparent system. This would demonstrate the Shire's commitment to supporting all residents, regardless of which club or group they choose to participate in. I've got documents of all the information. So my questions for clarification are, can the Shire provide a full list of all current leaseholders and their annual charges to illustrate the extent of the discrepancy? What is the process for setting these reviews? Reviewing lease charges for community groups. Are there existing guidelines or criteria for determining eligibility for peppercorn or discounted leases? Is the Shire considering population and demographic trends in planning for future community facility use?
Thank you, Jim. Gary, yep. Would you like to respond?
Yep. Absolutely. Jenny, at this stage, we don't have any set criteria for how we charge for lease payments with the leases we have with community groups. Certainly, there's a number of community groups who have a very low payment, and there's others that have some payment, and there's others that actually pay quite a high charge for what might be considered not a whole lot of use. I'm happy to provide the list of leases to council with the summary of those. Certainly our lease is also tied up with that with the lease payments is that some degree, minor degree of the type of access that some clubs have. So some clubs have access to quite extensive buildings, others have access to not a whole lot. Some clubs do a whole lot of maintenance on their buildings and the facilities they lease. Some clubs do none. And that's loosely built into the charging system. We also have some clubs at the moment, and we're continuing to negotiate leases. We have clubs who are seeking access to buildings that are currently effectively unsafe and need additional services provided to allow them to fully use the building. So that touches off on some of those. Do we take notice of the demographics? I don't think we really do. In saying that, although I think council in the past has looked, rather than provide to our demographic that exists, and you're quite correct, our demographic, Jenny, is shifting older. Council's gone, well, if that's the case, then perhaps we need to attract some of our younger demographic. We'll try and act positively to keep that younger demographic in town or attract them to town. So, and some of those leases for the provided by the that provide services to the younger demographic, they are some of the peppercorn lease rentals as well.
In your policies, it's an organisational group that's leasing or licensed with an annual lease or license, peppercorn rent of $10 inclusive. Level two, an organisational group will pay annual lease and license on rent for $350. That's in your policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're paying $900.
Yep.
So either you have to change your policy or we have to change it. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to table that. That's all the information that I've found
yep.
out about.
Okay. I'm happy to share with council and certainly with you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
Some of our the summary of some of our leases.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd like it lovely.
Thank you, Jenny. Is there anything else? Lovely. Thank you, Sharon.
I've got a few questions about the.
Sharon, could you just please say your name? And
oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Sharon Williams of Cumming Street.
Thank you.
Just used to everybody knowing me. It's been a while since I've been to a meeting.
Not a problem. Thank
you. So I just got a few questions to do with the payments for February that's in tonight's agenda. So I saw that there was an insurance claim for the Memorial Hall for water damage, light fittings, etc. had to be replaced. I'm just wondering, how did all that get damaged when we've got a new roof on the hall?
So we had a storm back in, I think it was November 25,
right.
And there was quite a real download of rain. So there was lots of damage in different areas around that, and no guttering would have coped with the downpour that we received. So that it actually come in through the fan, extractor fan in there, and so it damaged the roof and the wiring. So we've done repairs to the wiring. The roof still is required to be done, but we've done the wiring first because then we were still able to hire out the facility.
Yeah, I still don't understand because, and mind you, I haven't been living in a hall and maybe it works differently, but like with my house, there's slits at the side of the gutter about halfway up, and when you get the huge downfall, the water goes over the gutter. It doesn't go down to downpipes. It doesn't go in my house. With a new roof, I'm wondering how the water got in the building to damage all that stuff.
The sheer volume of water that came off not only the roof over the kitchen, but there's other roofs as well that feed down there. The downpipes and the gutters just could not cope.
There'll be a hail on that
storm.
Yeah, we
did. Hail to stop a lot of the water.
Yeah. It wasn't the only building that suffered damage. We suffered damage at the swimming pool as well.
So I was standing up in front of the admin building because it was about 6 o'clock, and the water was up above the curb across the road, and there was ice.
Oh, that one where you could have gone down my street.
Yeah.
The speed boats, the rain event.
But yeah, I still don't know how it got in. But anyway, it's just a new.
It's purely the area.
The volume
of water that came in.
Can I just ask a question about that? Would that not be covered by insurance?
Yes, it would.
Yes.
It was an insurance claim.
Yeah,
but I'm just, in my head, I'm thinking it's a new roof. That shouldn't have happened, in my head.
Anything?
Yeah, sorry, I've got a few questions.
Cool.
So there was another payment in February for the Harry, I don't know how to pronounce it, Harry Andel Family Trust, to do with technical and project management.
Mm.
I'm just wondering, what is the Harry Andel Family Trust?
So the Harry Andel Family Trust is the business trading, or the business name of a contract civil engineer
business
who provides us with service.
Oh,
yep.
Okay, so that ties in. And then there was another payment for King Brothers Driver Training for $2,720. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, so that is professional development for our outside staff member.
Yep.
So to help try and retain staff and upskill them, the license that he requires or that we would like them to obtain, that's part of the training process. Yep.
That's the lines I was thinking on, but I just wanted to find out for sure. Then there was another payment for the Narrogin Motel for accommodation for CESM, which I don't know what that stands for $240.
Yeah, Fire Chief SESM.
Yep, so it's for the
SESM, Community Emergency Response Fire Chief.
Sorry, Gary.
Team,
please.
So that payment was he was up there for repairs and maintenance to his vehicle. When he was there, it didn't finish till quite late, and then they were still waiting on parts which were going to arrive the next morning. So rather than as duty of care for the Shire, rather than him drive to Condinan and back,
he wasn't able to drive to Condinan. His car
was there.
Yeah.
the vehicle he got
to Narrogin in was in Narrogin
for
being repaired.
Yeah.
And right in thinking that was a warranty
so we had to provide
accommodation because
he had
nowhere else to go.
Yep.
And I also saw that there was a payment for hepatitis A and B.
Yep.
That's for me. So sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the works that we've done down at the effluent pond. With the dredging,
there's
geo bags, there's human waste, and I'll be working with the crew to clear those when it gets clear. And I have to have hepatitis A and hepatitis B vaccination to do that work.
Kevin, you don't have to have. We offer that to all of our employees who may work with human waste in the sewage system. We offer it to our cleaners who often get to tidy up some extremely unpleasant circumstances in the public toilets, and to the entire road crew, because they may get called out to pull something dead off the side of a road or whatever else. So we offer it to any one of those employees who wants it, because that's a basic work. And if they contract hepatitis A or B in that situation, that would be a workers' compensation claim. So we provide, and it's also a permanent disease that causes you all sorts of other issues as well. But yeah, it's just management for our staff. Not all of them take it up, but in this instance, Kevin has.
Sorry, not sound facetious, but there'll be another one on the 17th.
You did say the second, so obviously.
Yeah, this is the third one's in April.
Thanks, Kevin.
Sharon. Now, there was another one for the 5th of February. WA Treasure Corporation, principal and interest on loan, February payment $31,195.76.
So that's some of our borrowing, so our loan repayment. So we have a number of loans that council have. I'll check in our financials what one exactly that would have been, because they're all sort of at different times. There wasn't a loan number that they
80.
Made reference
to. There may have been, I didn't write it down.
80.
Yeah, so that loan 80 is a numerous loan, so it's for staff housing, it's for our original sewerage loan, it's for a grader, it's for Kalkani. So that's a loan payment. Yeah, so that's...
Excuse me, Dean, when do we take out that loan?
I don't know exact year, but it is coming to near the end. I think it's either the next financial year or the year after that ceases.
So just another question about that. If we've got millions in the bank, why have we got loans?
So it was taken out a number of years ago, the loans. When we think about our money in the bank and our reserves, a lot of our reserves are for particular... they have particular uses for them. So if it doesn't fit in that use, then we'd actually need to go back out to get permission to be able to use those funds for something else. I can't answer why they took out the loan back then. They wouldn't have probably had the funds available. To pay them out, there's actually no real, not a real financial benefit for council to do that, and hence that they've just continued to pay.
So getting back to what you said about the funds that are in reserves for particular purposes, who makes those decisions?
So council make those decisions, and that's made at budget time.
Yep. Okay, thank you for that. So to do with the Brookton Country Club and the cropping, so I'm just wondering, why does the Shire have all of that acreage? Is it 150 acres? I couldn't figure it out myself. Is it about that?
Hectares.
Sorry, it's 16 hectares, isn't it?
Oh, is it 16 hectares?
Around about.
So yep. Is that just like the Shire's always had that land? The
Shire has always had that land. I'm not aware of their heritage, of the history behind it, but it's been there for as long as.
So is the Shire have any plans for using it apart from cropping?
At the moment, that land is a reserve vested in us for the purposes of cropping, and we have a licence, or are about to have a licence, that will allow the country club to crop that.
What do you mean by vested in?
So it's not land that we own. It's land, it's Crown land, so it's state government land that is vested in us. So we have a management order over that land, and we're able to use that land for the purposes of the management order, which is cropping.
Oh, okay, now.
Was that originally the town common?
I don't know, Guy. Yeah. And I'm not sure of that term, town common. It's not something that I've ever used. So.
Oh, okay. I think that refers back to Ned Kelly's days when drovers could bring their shed there and smell it and give them a drink.
So then that would mean that if it's vested only for cropping, that's all you can do with it.
Yes.
Is that what it means?
Yep. We would be able to, if we wanted to use it for something else, we would be able to go to the state government and say, we want to change this management order from this to that. So... to something else. We would be able to do that, but we would have to go through the process to do it.
Okay. So has the Brookton Country Club been the ones that have always done the cropping, or has there been other arrangements?
I'm not aware of who's used it in the past and how. I expect that because the land's been there for some years, many years, other groups may well have used it. But I'm not aware of that history.
Can I answer that? To the best of my knowledge, and I'm local,
it
was originally the golf club. Now the golf club and the bowling club have combined to become the country club.
So Beryl, the golf club used to crop that land at one point in time?
Yeah, a long time.
Okay.
Thanks, Beryl.
I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, I've got a couple on this one too. Dry tea, Brooke and Quentin. I'd like to support Jenny's
statement and questions a little while ago. Couple of questions I've got, and to reiterate with the country club and the cropping that Sharon's is talking about, I think you guys are making a bad decision and it should be put out for expressions of interest to all sporting clubs in town. You need to be fair about that 16 hectares of land and let everyone have a crack at it. That's my view. But I think the decision has already been made without any consultation with the general public in town. The other thing that I...
Sorry, was, are you asking a question or making a statement?
Well, the question was that you shouldn't have supported it. It should have gone to public interest, public expression, and you didn't do it. So that's a bit of both.
Can I just make a point that that's still a matter before council.
And that all came up months and months ago when Peter saw the $10,000 payment to the country club, and that's when she started looking into it and she was telling me about it, and I was aware that it always been the country club had dropped that and thinking it was their land, but it's not. And I think everyone should have a chance to do that. Whether it's the Auskick kids, we've had a couple of state occupiers come from this area. So there's more than just the few old pensioner guys that are extremely fit and walk around the golf course every weekend. There's lots of other people in the community that would probably have a crack at taking advantage of that as a bit of fundraising. And I don't think that new people have given the community a fair chance. So we'll get on to the other questions. Is the vert spraying going to be carried out this year? Roadside spraying, it hasn't been done for probably 3 years.
Yes, it will be done this year. Okay. And yes, it was done last year.
Yeah, I don't think it was done the whole shire, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Because our way there was, looked like it had been done in bits and pieces or stages. That's good, okay. The 10-year road plan, which is, I think, going to be discussed tonight, that looks really good. But what I couldn't find, and you'll be able to clarify it for me, where is the normal maintenance in that 10-year road plan?
It's not included in that 10-year road plan because that type of maintenance is reactive. So if you were talking about fixing a pothole on a road and doing that sort of stuff, or even maintenance grading where we're talking about maintaining all of our roads, that isn't as specific as our 10-year road
construction plan. Yeah, I understand that part of it.
So we do have, in our budget, we do have operating maintenance for both town and rural roads. And so the program that's being presented tonight is actually purely capital projects.
I was aware of that. Okay, so that's good, but I don't know whether it's a good idea, but can you make that public? Because people around town sort of say, oh, the effing Shire won't fix our roads. But if you make it public and say...
Make the 10-year road plan public?
No, the general maintenance. And say, okay, we're going to do... what have you got, 1,000 kilometres of roads?
No.
And it gets just roughly
650, 700.
Okay. Yep,
yep. So Guy, can I just clarify that this plan is very much about where we do substantial remediation and change the condition of the road. And often we change the standard of the road as well. So in accounting terms, we are producing a new asset, which we will then depreciate. So all of these projects included on our 10-year plan will involve considerable investment, and we will get left with a much better road.
I think that's great.
So what you're or what I consider to be the ongoing maintenance is where we're maintaining an asset, so that it's usable, but we're not changing the condition
substantially.
So, and gravel roads change a whole lot anyway.
Overnight,
or and certainly this time of year, our gravel roads are in the worst condition of the year because they've had harvest and it's been a long time since winter grading. So,
I probably didn't explain it very well, but I was just wondering, do you like to start out near Addison Mill Road and end up at Aldersyde the year?
We do all sorts of different things, Guy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We have two graders. Sometimes we start them at each end they work around or, you know, from east-west on the northern side and west-east on the southern side.
Okay, no, that's fine.
There's all sorts of different things we can do.
Yeah.
Some people actually think that if we were to put them together, they actually go more than twice as fast. So in some conditions, there's actually an advantage of having them
two graders work
two together because you get through more than what two single graders can do on two different roads. So there's all sorts of different things that we do. And this time of year, we are very much responding to
where needed.
To failures, because all we can do is, in many cases, is just remove corrugations and perhaps fill some potholes, maybe.
Yep.
But on gravel roads, you really need to, winter grading is the time when we rebuild our roads.
Yeah, okay. With this cyclone that's just crossing Queensland tonight, they've got it coming down here next week, so they might be all washed away again next week.
And I'd also make the point that winter grading program, we do need to get the road wet right the way through.
Yep.
So a quick summer shower, which doesn't soak the road.
Yeah, it runs off.
It just runs off, and once you scratch off that top little crust, it's as dry as anything underneath, and that's not suitable.
I appreciate that, Gary, because I read that and I thought, well, where's the general maintenance? But now that you've explained it, that's great. Lastly, you're all aware I contacted WorkSafe over the tip. Is there an update on that? And I've noticed at the beginning of the discussion tonight there was a few comments about safety in the workplace with needles. You walk in here, you've got exit lights and things that are compliant to different regulations. I brought up about the tip. I've lost count over the past 15 years, and every time I've been fobbed off, spoken to both of you about it before, till it got to the point where I contacted WorkSafe and other authorities, which if they haven't contacted you yet, I'm sure they will. But can I have an update, and will the tip be made compliant, and what's the time frame?
Thanks, Guy. So WorkSafe visited our tip on the waste disposal site on the 2nd of March.
A couple of weeks ago.
So after their visit, they issued our waste disposal site contractor with a just trying to get the terminology right with an order. Not to use, I've forgotten the term.
So that it was tagged at the loader.
The contractor's front end loader on site isn't allowed to be used until it's had a number of things repaired and had some safety check completed. My understanding is that, as an update, that the contractor has completed most of that work, and I expect that the loader will be back either on site or in Brookton. Tomorrow was the latest news that I had.
Well, it's sitting up there with no tyres on Tuesday morning.
Came back earlier.
Pardon?
If the loader was up there on Tuesday, then it's come back earlier.
It's sitting there with no tyre. It hasn't left, Cameron.
That wasn't what was relayed to me, but that's all right.
Well, someone needs to get in their car and go up and have a look, because you're being bullshitted to. No.
Please, sir, it wasn't. I take exception to that. Sorry, Gary. I spoke to Kevin Timms on Tuesday afternoon.
Yep.
And he told me that he had four new tyres put on the loader.
Yep.
He had the wiring repaired.
Yep.
So the lights, the flashing light on the back, the reversing beam.
Yeah. The windows.
The windows.
Brakes.
It was going down to Perth.
Yeah.
Okay, to have additional work done to the windows.
Yeah.
It would be coming back on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's going to try and get a mechanic out there to sort out the other mechanical issues on the motor.
Right.
So you saw it on Tuesday morning with our tyres on.
Yeah.
I dare say Brookton tyres came up there.
Okay.
Put four new tyres on it, and then it's gone down to Perth and it's come
right. And the main question is, and I've written to you about this, Gary, spoken to Rod numerous times, been in here and literally been abused by Katrina, why did it get to that stage? You know damn well it was unsafe. And they're putting cooking oil in the hydraulic tank because it was leaking so much. Cooking oil has got no lubrication qualities. It changes the viscosity under temperature, which hydraulic oil doesn't. Cooking oil does not relate to high pressure, where hydraulic oil does. The whole thing was a total circus and a death waiting to happen. And you people always fob me off, but you can't subcontract out your liabilities, which is what this shire was trying to do by blaming the contractor. There's OH&S standards. Everyone deserves to go to work and come home with all their fingers, legs, toes or whatever, and the shire failed in that. Grimly failed. To the point where every single person in this room should be ashamed of yourself of what was happening at that time. It was disgusting. You wouldn't do it to your employees, Rod. You wouldn't do it to Shire employees, Gary. Why do it to the general public and the poor old Tony, excuse me, poor old Tony up at the tip? No running water. The whole place is disgusting. And he's got to sleep there, live there.
It doesn't have to.
Where's he going to go?
Tony's
his own man, I know
yes.
that.
So, to continue to answer your question, and as Kevin's just said, our expectation is that the latest expectation was that the contractor's front end loader will be back in town.
Answer the question, why did it get to that stage when I've been coming in here for 15 years? Why do I have to ring the authorities and get them to act on it, and now you're making excuses that it's going to be done? Why wasn't it done before? You wouldn't allow it over
to the
No, I'm pissed off, Gary.
Okay, go ahead.
And rightly so.
Go ahead. You please let Gary do it.
Well, don't watch it to me.
Go ahead. Please explain from the language.
You asked for the latest update.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to provide it.
And then I asked, how did it get to that stage?
I was trying to answer the first question first.
Please.
So there's a number of other notices as well.
Yeah.
Were issued. So... the fire extinguishers hadn't been serviced.
Which I've asked about.
The first aid kit hadn't been updated. There wasn't a chemical register on site.
Yeah.
And no...
MDS.
No safety data sheets.
Yeah.
And again, poor old Tony was caught smoking in the side office.
Yeah.
So that was an issue as well.
The building shouldn't be there either, Jack.
Sorry?
The building shouldn't be there either. It hasn't been put there properly when Gary Clark put it there.
So that was no finding.
WorkSafe didn't identify that.
No, well, WorkSafe wouldn't. It's not their...
absolutely it is, Guy. So
well, I think if you've got someone up there and checked the building codes, you'd find it doesn't meet it, the standards.
They've reviewed... The safety, that's their job. If there was a safety issue there to be identified, then...
Well, they wouldn't have climbed under the building, I'm quite sure of that, seeing the clothes they were wearing. But that donga should be on 600 wide by 800 deep concrete footings, and it's not. It was just sat there on the dirt.
Mm-hmm. So there's a number of those issues at the rubbish tip where... at the waste disposal site, that need to be adjusted and amended.
Is the shire going to fix it? No proper shower. He's got a 20-litre plastic drum on the roof of the donga, Gary.
So my expectation is that, we're about to go out to quotations for our curbside collection for waste and recycling. As part of that, because our current curbside collection contractor provides the waste management at the tip site, we will offer as part of our quotation the opportunity for somebody to manage the waste disposal site. I'm not confident that we'll get somebody to manage the tip site. And in that instance, if council wishes to maintain that service, I expect we'll need to step up and do it.
And spend about $1 million, hopefully.
And probably spend about $1 million. Probably the $1 million that should have been spent over some considerable time.
Well, who in this room?
So I expect that there will be a significant change. If that happens, there will need to be a significant change in the management of the tip.
I hope there is.
Particularly in the way that the public use the site. Access to the tip will probably be restricted, will all be changed in the number of hours. The current service provided, as you've alluded to, is a very basic service.
We will need to meet the requirements
and raise the level of service, and that comes at a cost to the community of Brookton. And there will be an ongoing discussion with the Shire and the community about those changes that are required and will be implemented should the Shire take over management of the tip. And I have no doubt. So I'm aware that the current contractor has been, in providing that service, very much relies on his employee, who is willing to come and work in Brookton for the hours that he currently does. The contractor made it clear that if that employee was to leave his service, then the contractor couldn't provide the service anyway. We are going to be in a position, I expect, now whether or not the employee wants to continue, where we will need to take over management of the tip, and that's going to change the way it operates.
That's fine, Gary, but I don't know who wrote the previous tender for Great Southern Waste, or who here or in the depot or wherever monitors the tender and checks on it to make sure it's being adhered to, but you're implying the whole community is going to be involved at a cost and it'll be upgraded. But it's got to stick to the regulations. So if you can't say it's going to be an upgrade because you haven't followed the rules to start with. So it's just got to comply. And if you think that's an upgrade, well, in a sense, maybe you're right, but it's not really. It's like the fridges. How many times have I spoken to you about the degassing of the fridges? A fair bit in the last 3 months.
There isn't actually a requirement for council to have that service.
You're talking out your ass, Gary.
No,
you'll find out next week when the Australian Refrigeration Council visit you.
There isn't a requirement.
Bullshit.
There isn't a requirement for us to offer.
Guy,
not the refrigerant. What was that, Rob?
You need to refrain from swearing or I'm going to ask you to leave.
Well, I'll go then. Thank you. You're a bunch of clowns.
Thank you.
You think you're being smart, but you're not complying, and you're being a total wanker.
Moving on.
That's fine.
Anyway. Lovely. No further questions. Applications for leave of absence. Do we have any? No. Thank you. Petitions, deputations, presentations, there are nil. Confirmation of minutes from our last council meeting on the 19th of February. Can I please have a mover? Councillor McCarrick seconded. Councillor Copping. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you. 7-0. 6-0. Local Emergency Management Committee meeting
Minutes, confirmation of previous minutes. Can I please have a mover, Councillor Crouch, and seconded Councillor Cade. All those in favour? All those in favour, sorry. Thank you.
Just trying to see where you're at.
No.
I forgot my glasses.
Oh.
I can't see.
Okay, please. All right, announcements by the presiding member without discussion. Disclosures of interest. We do have two, one from Gary Sherry and impartiality in relation to the country club, and the second one from Councillor Crouch, again in relation to the country club discussions coming up. Technical and development services report, 10-year maintenance program. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I please have a mover? Thank you, Councillor McCabe. Seconded, Councillor Copping. Do we have any questions or any discussion around the 10-year plan?
Looks good.
Looks good. Anybody? No?
What I'd make is for the on the risk assessment. If we didn't maintain to the standard, wouldn't it be a higher risk and safety?
Yeah, but a road safety issue, if we don't maintain, I would say would be likely, not unlikely.
But if we do the work, the consequence is major, but the likelihood will be unlikely, which then gives us a rating of medium.
Or the risk of not implementing the program.
Yep.
So if we don't do the work, you have to assume the risk assessment that people are looking after the conditions of the
boat. Okay, right. Yes.
Signs and rivers.
Yep.
So you can score for people that are used that, but then you start going into territory where
it's conflict.
Yeah.
Common sense thing.
Yeah, we're glad to use that. So.
Lovely. Thank you, Gary. All those in favour? Carried 7-0, thank you.
6-0.
6-0, I could say 7-0, I have it, yes. Corporate services report. Where are we? Yes, we have an officer's recommendation for the list of payments. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor McCabe, and seconded Councillor Crouch. Certainly, Councillor McCabe.
There's a couple of payments for caravan park recycles, and I'm just curious about how that works with regards to a later on agenda item where we don't have a policy in place for people to get a refund on a booking.
Yeah. So the current it was adopted as part of our fees and charges in this year's budget, so they have to provide 24 hours notice to be able to, so for some reason people cancel. If they do that, then they're eligible for a refund, which is what you see in the financials. In regards to the fee waiver or refund of the fee, that it does need to be done by absolute majority, so hence that needs to come to council as a separate item.
So these line items are for refunds for cancellations of bookings prior to that.
Yeah, and we will, we certainly will discuss that as part of the upcoming budget as well, and then how we do that.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
It'll be revisited.
Thank you. Gary.
There's another one with the, I see there's repairs to the men's shed roof. I know it wasn't the actual men's shed, but is that just because it's the bowling club still labels?
Yeah, that's right, it's still labelled as the men's shed. Yeah.
Incidentally, that was the same rain event that damaged the memorial hall. So,
thank you.
That was that hail that caused most of the problem.
Wonderful. Any further questions? No? All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Thank you. Statement of financial activity. We have an officer's recommendation. Please have a mover. Councillor McCabe and seconded Councillor Crouch. Please.
Yeah, thank you. So just a bit of a report on where we are at the moment with our finances. So at year to date, we have a budget surplus of $755,000 compared to our actual surplus of $1.5 million. The major variance is primarily attributed to the operating activities, and on the statement of financial activity, which is on page 36 of the financials, you can see the variances between the three areas. So there's the operating, there's the investing activities, and the financial activities. So right at the bottom of that page gives you the variances on all of those. And they really are to do with recognition of revenue, decreased expenditure, looking at our capital expenditure and revenue, so that's linked back to our reserves and the transfers in and out of there. What I will say is that with an adopted balanced budget, which we adopt with a zero balanced budget, all available funds are fully allocated. A year-to-date surplus generally reflects timing differences, particularly in regards to capital expenditure and associated revenue, as well as all the operating activities. So some points to remember that really do impact that, that surplus monthly is project timing. So there can be delays in capital works. There could be in stages. Our revenue recognition, so from our grants and contributions and other income received either earlier or late than the original budget, so that impacts it as well. Certainly around contracting and tendering and particularly the supply chains as well, so that impacts when we can actually do the spending, so they can sometimes delay our jobs. And of course the operating variation, so that can be from staffing to any sort of service delivery, and that's sometimes around our programming and our budgeting that we do during the year. So sometimes they don't align. So as in when we budget for the year, some programs we budget evenly amounts for the 12 months, but sometimes there's months that are higher than others and less than others. So you get those variances that come through. Also on page 36, you can now see in the amended budget, so after our budget review, all the changes that were made are now included in there. We did have a deficit in the amended budget column, a bit over $300,000, which related to the railway station, and now that has gone back to a balanced budget after our budget review. All the budget review adjustments are there on page 57 to 59. They show the increase and decrease in cash, and we've ended up again with a balanced budget. If anyone's got any further questions, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you, Deb. Councillor Crouch.
Just with this fuel in the crisis that we've got happening at the moment, have we got fudge in there to cover that, or we need to?
Yep. So we certainly still do have funds available in our fuel. So what happens when we budget during the year? When we budget at the year, we work out all our operating costs on our plant. So whether that be fuel, repairs, tyres, depreciation, you know, the works. And we work out an average around what that plant costs us to run for each and every hour. And we do normally, that fuel is fairly, you know, we do some assumptions around how much fuel we will use in those machines. So again, that's going back on records and then just some assumptions about what we know with the upcoming budget. So whether we have large capital projects, like the year that we had a bit over $1 million of Wheatbelt secondary freight, that was certainly a higher budget area in fuel and repairs. But we are sitting quite comfortably at the moment, but you know, that depends on a number of things with the fuel and inflation as well.
You're specifically referring to the price of diesel going that way.
Yeah, price-wise, like, it's going to be triple, quadruple what we
originally budgeted for, yeah. And so we might need to look at ways that we can reduce that, but currently
At this point, we're now in middle of March, so we've got 3 more months to go, In this budget cycle we'll be fine.
Yeah, we're going to have to allow for
it.
So if you can tell me what the fuel price is going to be like from July through to June next year.
$10 a litre.
Yeah. No, but that's where it's really going to hurt. It'll also hurt us in bitumen prices. Yeah. So bitumen, as you're probably well aware, is basically oil. You know,
I think the more of a concern is whether we can get the fuel.
to keep running.
I'm actually pretty confident we'll be able to get fuel,
yep.
But presuming it's panic buying and no full-on war breaks out in Europe, in the Middle East, we'll probably still be able to get fuel, but the price is going to be the real issue, or that'll be the first issue. And coming into budget, if we're expecting to spend twice as much fuel on fuel as what we did this financial year, that's going to be interesting. We've got grant funding for our roads. If our bitumen's going to cost us twice as much as what we've put in our grant applications for this funding, that's going to be interesting to see what happens. And then there's just the cost of travel and everything else. All the freight of in future is going to just be more expensive. So what's that going to do to our budget going forwards is going to be interesting.
Thank you, Gary. Any further questions? All those in favour? Carried, 6-0. Thank you. Our next item is a rates exemption application for the Noongar Boodjah subland. We have three offers of recommendations. The first one being that council consider a motion to revoke the decision from 9.2510 from September 25 ordinary council meeting. Do I have a mover for that? Moved Councillor Copping and seconded Councillor McCabe. Would anybody would like to speak to the motion, or anybody have any comment in relation to the item? No. All those in favour? Carried, 6-0. Lovely. Second officer's recommendation being that council revoke the decision 09.2510 from the September 25 ordinary council meeting. Can I have a mover, please? Moved Councillor Crouch and seconded Councillor Copping. Any discussion around this item?
Sorry, I'm trying to catch up. What item are we on?
1432603. So that's the Noongar
Boodjah. Oh, the Noongar Boodjah, yeah.
And we're on the second officer's recommendation. The council revoked the decision. Was there any discussion around that? Certainly around that.
Jumping ahead here with the officer's recommendation number 3, but I was under the impression that we didn't have to do that.
So we don't have to make any decision about charging the rates, but the decision to revoke removes the council decision on the application that we received from Noongar Boodjah. So now if we remove the decision we made previously, we've still got their application. We need to now decide their application again. Does that make sense? Mm. We need to formally say, so they've applied to be rates exempt. And in September we said yes. Now we're about to take that decision away. So we still have their application and we need to decide their application.
Okay.
And based on the legal advice, the officer's recommendation is that we refuse the application.
Through the chair, the previous motion that was not passed was to request for additional information from the suggested parties. Is that not a good idea to pursue that again, rather than just jumping straight to charging rates again?
We've tried to have contact with Noongar Boodjah, and we've told them the basis of our legal advice and said if they have some more information about how they use that property that they can provide us, please do, and they haven't provided us anything.
So that request has been made?
Yes.
Correct. Cool. All good questions, Lindsay.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, any further questions on that one? All those in favour? Carried, 6-0. Our third officer's recommendation is that Council, pursuant to Section 6.262G of the Local Government Act 1995, refuses the application by Noongar Boodjah Land Sub Proprietary Limited for a rates exemption for the following properties on the basis that the land is not currently used for charitable purposes. And those properties are listed for your reference there. D, Do I have a mover, please? Councillor Copping, seconded Councillor McCabe. Any further discussion? Or do we need clarification? Yeah, please, Gary. Anybody have any queries or misunderstandings or understandings? No? All very clear? Alrighty. Lovely. All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Thank you. Request for a refund fee waiver, Alec Contracting. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Crouch, seconded. Councillor Copping, any discussion, clarification required? No? All those in favour? Carried 6-0, thank you. Budget amendment for the vending machine security cage at the located at the caravan park. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor McCabe, seconded Councillor Crouch. Any discussion?
It's an ongoing thing that I will say, but it just seems like an exorbitant amount of money for a cage.
I tend to agree, but
grinder will still get it.
But that'll be heard.
I can offer a comment on that. I understand that the cage that's been designed for it is going to cover parts of the vending machine where you can gain access to force it open. But there's a lot of engineering that's going to go into ensuring that the public can safely still access all of the buttons, the coin slot, the card access. They need to be able to get into.
Yeah, I've seen the cages before and just.
And also, there was an option of using normal galvanised steel or making it at least aesthetically pleasing. And we are going to make it aesthetically pleasing for the public as well. We're going to just put a galvanised cage there. That's not going to look good.
Appreciate all the background work. Yeah.
Thank you. It should provide some longevity to the machine. And
yeah.
That's wonderful. Any further questions? No? All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Thank you. Sale of property, outstanding rates, 456 Davis Road in Brookton. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I please have a mover for that? Moved Councillor Crouch, seconded Councillor McCabe. Do you have any questions in relation to this item?
Just I've got a lot of money out there, and if they can't afford the $6,000, they've got lots of assets to try and make it up. Seems deliberate that they're not paying it.
Okay. So just in general terms, the council staff go out of their way to provide payment arrangements for people. You know, and we have a number of people who lose their job or whatever else, have some other drain on their financial situation, and we're happy to work with them. And if they come and see us early, we encourage them to come and see us early. They often don't, but we work with them. We're willing to work with them because this is time-consuming and actually quite costly for us in resourcing to make this happen.
Is it a weekender or
the ratepayer, the property address is the address for the ratepayer. So I'm expecting to live there. That's where we send our official correspondence to him, and he obviously gets that because he's made communication with our collection agency. He also, in purchasing the property, there hasn't been any payment of rates by the owner until for several years. I think there was a payment in October last year and one in March this year. They've been the only two payments on 3 years of rates. And again, I would reiterate that if this person wants to pay their rates, all of this goes away.
Oh, yeah, that's it. But I say there's like there's underground mining trucks and everything on the property, so I've got plenty of money, plenty of assets there. It seems more like a choice that
we don't get involved in that. By and large, you just pay your rates.
I mean, it's not like
This incident gets to this point because this is exceptional. We have lots of dealings with people where we tell them that they need to pay their rates. And again, as was pointed out, that we need a level of fairness here where there are ratepayers in the community who are struggling and they're still paying their rates. Why can't this person?
Yeah, sounds fair.
And he can come and tell us that too.
Lovely. Any further questions? I think it's probably worthwhile noting that if you're in a city council, this would have been actioned a long time ago.
Exactly.
So, it's, all those in favour? Carried. 6-0. Thank you. Governance reports. Walga, sector consultation in relation to compulsory and voluntary voting and election frequency. You do have an officer's recommendation. Can I please have a mover?
Just perhaps, Mr. President, before you do that, good. I've tried to provide this actually includes an option.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to include options, but that's what it could look like. If you don't think that we should have a full spill election every 4 years, we don't have to support it. If you want to have...
I'll amend the motion then, please. But we don't support the full spill motion, government change, that we continue with the current system.
So that would be option B?
I don't know whether I can speak to it until I get a second up, but it's going with the current system of every 2 years after the chamber has seats vacant and then the opportunity to be re-elected for some council.
Keep the situation as it is.
While you're moving the motion.
And I'd suggest that all the other points are the same and go for option B as far as what you've put in there.
Councillor McCabe, given you take his motion, it will be that council does not, if you put does not at the start of line one, council just does not. So it will read that council.
Do we need to move this first?
I'm working with Councillor McCabe here to get. Yeah. So it's that council does not support the introduction of the full spill local government elections and provides a position regarding. Get rid of provides a position and option A and the word or and the line B. So it will just read. One, does not. Two, does not support compulsory voting and supports retaining the current voluntary voting system for local government elections.
So we're getting rid of A.
You get rid of A and the line that says provides a position. All of line two.
Option B.
And the option B line as well goes. And if you can get a 2 in front of that, does not support compulsory voting.
Yeah. It still needs the line that says retain the voluntary voting.
That's that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Yeah. Looks good. So I'm going to move that motion.
Second.
Second, Councillor Crouch.
Speak to the motion.
You may.
So speaking to the motion, I think that changing all of council in one hit provides too much vulnerability to the Shire, and having everybody change all at the same time means that there's no information. I appreciate that it is an additional cost. The Shire has seen multiple out-of-term elections, which is unfortunate, but the reality, on a normal basis, that is only every second year, and in the scheme of things, the $15,000 cost is quite cheap compared to the mistakes that can be made by council that don't have a whole lot of information. I think the other huge danger that it creates is that if you change every council in the room all at once, like it doesn't necessarily happen that way because it's depending on what the community votes, then it is a bit dangerous for the Shire staff because they essentially end up making most of the decisions because the council have no idea what they're doing to start with, and creates vulnerabilities there. So that's why I'd like to move the motion to continue to have half the room change every 2 years.
Any thoughts?
Oh, I agree with Councillor McCabe. Yeah. That would be my thoughts exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think continuity is really important, and if you lose it, it does present a lot of issues for council, and it's dangerous.
Oh, potentially. If you
I appreciate Councillor Coppin has to say because she's got the continuity and she's got the history and information, you know, and that's been valuable since I've been here.
Lovely. All right. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you, Sandy. Moving on, appointment of members to council committees and advisory groups. This was discussed at the recent CDF. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I please have a mover? Councillor McCabe and seconded. Is Councillor Toot, thank you. We all understand all the positions and everyone happy with the way it looks? Yep. Lovely. All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Thank you very much. Brookton Country Club, licensed to crop reserves 50860 and future lease agreements. We do have an officer's recommendation.
Can I just point out my declared my impartiality
interest? Oh, certainly, yes, as with Councillor Crouch as well. Yep. Thank you very much. Both being impartiality agreements, declarations of interest. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I please have a mover? Moved Councillor Copping, seconded Councillor McCabe. Any discussion around this item, guys? Please, Councillor McCabe.
Question. Gary, in this officer's recommendation, if you were to conduct the negotiations of the lease, do you feel that your conflict of interest will impair your ability to negotiate the lease?
I don't believe so. I would think when I say when authorise the CEO to commence the negotiations, those negotiations, there's going to be a little bit of back and forward here, and I would expect that the lease that we offer the country club will actually come through council, and it's a pretty transparent lease, and I'm confident that all of the councils are across those issues, and you'll be able to provide your own assessment of the value of the contents of the lease, both to council, the wider community, to the country club. It's not a I quite see my role as a negotiator here, not a. Yeah, I'm.
That one.
Thank you, Councillor.
Okay. As long as you're sure.
Yeah, Councillor,
well, I was going to support the lease agreement, but in view of our question time today, I'm not 100% sure that that's the way to go. Maybe we need to take the time. I know there's a time limit on getting this lease out because they want to start cropping, but to be respectful to the community members out there, I'm wondering whether we should put out a request for of interest or and see is there anyone else out in the community that could or would want to take this opportunity. Because obviously there are people in the community that are quite distressed about this or about the whole lease agreement and the cropping agreement. Up until public question time, I was in favour of supporting this, but I'm just wondering if we need to do a little bit further investigation first. We have some disgruntled community members, as we saw tonight, so we need to consider that as well.
Can I just ask? Have you had any indication that there are other groups interested? Because I've spoken to a few and they are not interested.
Well, that's why we put out an expression of interest to find out. We give the whole community the opportunity. It's not just our Girl Guides groups. We're talking community groups. We're talking the whole community. There may be some group or some association within the community that could take advantage of that. And I'm just saying, to be respectful and consider the whole community, maybe we need to consider that expression of interest. And this is now a vendetta against the country club law, because I was going to vote in favour of this tonight until I heard those concerns in question time.
Fair point, Councillor Crouch.
In addition to what just been said, could we defer this till the next, to the April meeting, and basically use the month for anyone to nominate or put out to the community that it's up for it, and then see if we get anyone apply from the community, and if they don't, then it's a given.
Well, I think that would just put all of those concerns to a side.
The other way that is an option as well. The other, I think, the intent behind aligning the cropping land with the country club's lease would allow the country club to continue along with the funding that was intended to be aligned with their lease period.
How long is
in
loan
next
going
year,
for?
The loan?
There's one payment, I think, in 20.
So everything expires, the lease agreement and the loan agreement and the loan expire in the first half of 2027. So the lease
agreement for that 2 years,
which
basically
yep.
covers their financing yep. model, etc., as it stands.
Yep.
And then from there, we can,
revisit.
Basically revisit.
So
to the community, if anyone else would like to take it over,
yeah,
a better option.
I think that was the intent.
Yeah. So the intent of the officer's recommendation is exactly that. So that we're now, tell me when seeding's going to start. We're now extremely close to the start of seeding. So point one is just to get us through this seeding and next year, in which gives us then time to review the entire lease, which is. There's all sorts of issues that are, with how we structure that lease going forward.
Yeah.
But that's the lease over the rec ground, not just the license for the cropping reserve. So that was the intent, was to get us through and then make some decisions in next year. And there's probably an option. Whether you wanted to reduce the license to expire at the end of 2026, in which point you might be in a better position to know where you are on the longer term lease, the new lease for the recreation reserve. I would have thought if we don't make a decision quickly about this year's licence on the cropping reserve, nobody's going to crop the reserve.
Well, just that, could we amend it then that it's to the end of this year, and then, because no one can bully around and get it going before then anyway.
No.
So, as you say, defer for the year, or keep it just for the 2 years.
I prefer keep it for the 2 years to bring everything into alignment.
Is that way the two agreements line up and then
I try.
If you look at the just 3 months off. Mm-hmm. 31st of December means that they've got the time to get their crop off, because there's no point leasing a lease halfway through a cropping season.
True. Noted.
Thank you, Councillor Crouch. Kevin, did you have something to say?
With respect to the other community groups that might have an interest in cropping this land, perhaps part of a submission or a request to crop the land, we might want to include a capability statement from those groups with regards to their ability to crop, to seed, to harvest their crop, to ensure that the husbandry of that block of land is maintained in a condition that if that club is not successful the following year, or whatever the duration of their lease on that block is, we ensure that that block is handed over to the next community group in a condition that they can get a crop in there. I think that would be important, and I would suggest that due to the fact that the country club crops that block or that land every year, they are actually maintaining the criteria that we would set for any other community group that might be interested in that, in cropping that land.
All those in favour?
Oh, sorry, did we change the...
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, can I just have another project, please? We're only doing it for 2 years at this point in time, aren't we?
As yes. Per the officer recommendation.
And then we will consider...
Yes, correct. So, all those in favour? Carried. Unanimous. Moving on, option of revised model code of conduct for council members, committee members and elected candidates. We have an officer's recommendation. May I have a mover, please? Move Councillor McCabe, seconded Councillor Crouch. Are we all across?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat myself again, but this seems like a rubber stamping. You have to acknowledge this new code of conduct. It's just a...
Can I just agree with you? Like, I have just copied that straight out of the local government model code of conduct regulations and put it there for you as an attachment.
If we all voted against this, then it just means that he comes out here and tells us to make sure you vote for it. It's just a waste of...
Sorry, you can't vote against this. Yeah. But you have to. I'm agreeing entirely.
Yeah.
You have to vote for it, but you can't not vote for it. And you're only, if you wanted to change it, you're only allowed to change several sections. You can't change anything in section 4 and 2. Was it 3 and 4?
Can we raise an amendment that you must have a drink before you come to a council meeting?
You can't leave one at the end of it.
I think so.
It's obviously a statewide thing that Walter and everybody do, so
correct.
We just go and do it. Yeah, it's part parcel. You're not
meant
to reinvent the wheel.
As suggested.
Yeah. So you can't change Division 2, the principles, or Division 4, the rules of conduct, but you might want to change some of the others, but essentially, yeah. So most local governments I know just adopt what's written in the model. They adopt the model.
Statutory compliance deadline of April Fool's Day.
Lovely. Alrighty, all those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Elected member motions. We have none. New business of an urgent nature. There's nothing either. Confidential reports? No. Beautiful. I declare the meeting closed at 7:18 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Beautiful.